Thank you, Lord, for this tender moment with you, Lord. You're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father, Lord. You're the best Father, Lord. You are a Father, God. We can be under the shadow of your wings, Lord. We're not under the shadow of death. We're under the shadow of your wings, God. We bless you, Lord. We lift up your name, God. High, high and lifted up the name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that you are Lord. The strong name of the Lord. The strong tower, Lord. You are our strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Lord, you're a good, good Father, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Father. Abba, 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 Abba. We cry, Abba, 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 Abba. Yes, Lord, we need you. We need you. Closer, closer still, Lord. Deeper still, Lord. We need you, Jesus. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Abba. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You deserve all worship, all praise. Thank you for this sweet moment with you. Your presence entering in. Your presence manifesting itself. Lord, for us to experience, to be changed by your presence, Lord. To let you search us out, Lord. See what's in our hearts today, God. Point it out. What needs to be laid before you? What needs to be bowed to, Lord? More, more. Father, we need to bow to you more. More, God. Deeper still, higher still, Lord. More fire, God. More fire, God. More fire, God. More fire, God. Burn out the dross. Burn out the waste. Burn out the idols, Lord. Burn them out of us. Yes, God, we offer ourselves as the sacrifice on the altar, God. Burn us up. Burn us up, Lord. Just burn us up, Father. Yes, Lord, that what might be left is pure unto you. Pure unto you, God. Pure unto you, Lord. Wash us. Burn us up at the same time. Wash us clean. Burn us up at the same time, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We submit to you eagerly. We offer ourselves to you eagerly, enthusiastically. Here we are, Lord. Here we are, God, your children, offering ourselves to you enthusiastically, eagerly, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name, Lord. Yes, Father. Our Father. Our Father. Hallowed be your name, Lord. We lift up your name. We lift up your name. We bow before your name. Shh. Shh. Wind of the Holy Spirit, come in. Come in. Come in. As flames of fire. Yes, come in. Come in. Wind of the Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Flames of fire, you're welcome here. Come in. Come in. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. No holding back. No religious stuff. No, Lord. Open hearts. Open hearts. Open hearts. Open hearts. Open hearts. Open hearts. Open hearts to you, Lord. Open hearts to you, Lord. Open hearts to you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Bless you. Bless you, Lord. We open our hearts to you, Lord. We open our hearts to you, Lord. Jesus. We can't make a vow before you. We can't empower that vow. No, Lord. But you can empower us on the inside by your Holy Spirit. We receive it. Our words without your life are nothing, Lord. They come to nothing. But with your life, God, we can say, yes, you are Lord. Yes, you are our Father. We can cry out, Abba, Lord. Yes, Lord, and mean it by your Spirit empowering us, Father. We thank you for that. You give us all we need for life and godliness. Yes, God, we receive it today. We receive it today. We receive it today. All you're providing for life and godliness. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're not done worshiping you, Lord. We're not done. We're just getting started, Lord. We need you. We need you, Father. Oh, wash us clean, Lord. Burn us up at the same time. Yes, God, we say it again. Wash us clean. Burn us up at the same time. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. And our joy will be full. Our joy will be full. Our joy in you will be full. Yes, God. Yes, God. Let joy overtake the burdens. Let joy overtake the concerns, the worries. Let joy take over the tribulations and the trials. Let joy be raised up. Joy in our hearts and in the house. Yes, God. Joy in our hearts and in the house. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Joy. 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 Full 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 joy. Of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forever. Pleasures of heaven. Pleasures of your presence forever, Lord. Presence of connectedness with you, close to you. Those kinds of pleasures, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Welcome here. Yes. Welcome here. You're welcome here. Speak to us.
We draw near to you. We draw near to you. We draw near to you, Lord. We draw near to you. We draw near to you. We draw near to you.
Just had our Father's Day meal. We bless you today, God. And I don't know what to say beyond. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. love you, Lord. Gets more fun every time that happens.
We have some pictures to put up from the center of worship, the Centro Dorisau in Sao Paulo, Brazil. You want to see this? Look at this. There's our worship center, guys. There's FMI, Centro Dorisau. There's Inez and Sergio and some of the kids. Isn't that awesome? There's Joe Cabetti over by the guitar. I think there's a couple more pictures. Yeah. I think we sent four. Look at that one. You believe it? This is history making. This is huge. This is such a big deal. And Pastor Truseo is very, very excited about it. And we just want to say thank you again for your kind and loving prayer support and financial support. That's our building. And it's just right across, probably, I don't know how many, 10 feet across from the other center in City of God. So we're all together doing it all together. So it's very, very big deal in the spirit. And so they're meeting once or twice a week, trying to work out all the bugs where the kids are just worshiping and leading. And it's very exciting. So thank you, Lord, for that. And I want to read two verses just to piggyback what Pastor Bill said. And the song that Darlene was singing, the last one, it was beautiful worship. The last song goes with these scriptures here. And this is a prayer. This is David's prayer in Psalm 42, and it's perfect for Father's Day. Psalm 42, verses 7 and 8 reads, "Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and all your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life." So, Father, we just thank you, Abba. We praise you, Abba, for you are holy. You are our Papa on this Father's Day, which is every day of our life. And today, Father, as we celebrate the earthly fathers that we have in our midst, and those who can't be here or aren't here, Father, we just thank you that you give us the privilege of coming together as husband and wife and having children, and that those who have a father, children have fathers, that they can say, thank you, Lord, whether your father is not with us any longer or your father is in our midst. So we just say thank you, Lord, for that, and we have something a little bit later. But, Father, I just ask that the father of this house, that you would continue to anoint him, bless him, that the words that he speaks this morning would just grip our hearts in new ways. And we just thank you that we have him, Papa Bill, in our midst, and we're just so blessed. So, Father, just fill him up to overflowing with that incredible exuberance and that joy that he spoke about, that today would be just a continuation. The next segment here will be a continuation of this amazing holy worship to you. May you find this satisfying, God. I know you do. And we just praise you, Lord, for your presence and your sweet power. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, we're going to release the kids to Kingdom Land. And time for you.
You have so many choices as a disciple of Jesus. So many choices. One important one is to choose whether you want to be under the shadow of his wings, the shadow of the wings of the Most High God, your Abba Father, or the shadow of death, of the enemy of your soul. Even as a believer, we can choose to be under the wrong influences. That's not what the message is about. But I just love the picture of being under the shadow of his wings. You know, a shadow, as the sun, you know, hits a certain height and so on, the shadow lengthens out. Think of a wing, a large wing, and how much the shadow must lengthen out. And the Bible also talks about the shadow of death.
And obviously, that's all the enemy has to offer, the shadow of death. But we have so much through our Abba that he gives to us that's absolute life. Absolute life. And as you were worshiping this morning, I hope that that fountain of life was springing up inside of you. Because it's available, isn't it, at any time? The fountain of life springing up, we kind of have in a sense, a button we can push. We can have it spring up at any time. All we have to do is say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. I'm ready. Go ahead. Fill me up with your joy. Fill me up with your life. Fill me up with your peace. And believe me, that will be challenged, won't it? You know that. Lord, give me peace. And then you don't seem to feel any different. But it's in the pressing in. It's in the pressing into his presence because it's there. It's substance. It's not just some kind of feeling, some kind of heebie-jeebie, woobie-joobie. You know, hinky-winky. It's much more than that. It's powerful life that he wants to bring to us. When he says joy, it's not an emotion. Happiness is an emotion. Getting an ice cream cone on a hot day might make us very happy. But the ice cream cone eventually is ingested and digested. And that happiness, it's over. Shucks. But joy is rock solid bottom. It's in there all the time. And if you think, you know, if the enemy can convince us that it leaves when our feelings of happiness leave, then he's got us, doesn't he? I said he's got us, doesn't he? Because it's always there. He's always providing that source of peace and joy because the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you if you know Jesus. He doesn't leave you. So it's always there. And it can be on the increase for us. If it's waning for you, press in. Press in, hopefully, to this worship time we had. Press in to the Word of God as we share that. Press in to the Holy Spirit. Ask for that fire. Speak it out of your lips. If the power of the tongue is life or death, let's speak it out and have life. Okay, maybe we should get to the message. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We're reading John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. This is Jesus. When Jesus says he's preparing a place, that's truth. He's preparing a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And this is to the disciples, and they're sitting there going, huh? Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And of course, the famous verse comes next. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray that the Father, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if You do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. It goes on. Verse 26, chapter 15. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also know and bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. 16:24. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Boy, there's sure a lot of joy and a lot of abiding and a lot of bearing fruit in these chapters. What's the key to it all? Good point. Okay, we quit. All right, let's shut things down here. We have to see that Jesus became the true vine. He became the new branch. It used to be Israel. They didn't do so hot. So Jesus is the new vine to receive life from. The vine dresser is the Father. Think of the vine dresser. He doesn't have a whole lot to do other than just enjoy his fellow person in the Trinity. If Jesus is the true vine, he's all life. He's all those 700 names and titles. The vine dresser has an easy job if Jesus is the vine. The vine gives life to us. We're the branches. We've been engrafted in, those of us that are Gentiles, which is, I think, almost everyone here, probably. We've been engrafted in. We've been put into the life vine of Jesus. We didn't deserve to be there, but Jesus made a way for us to be there, dying on the cross for everyone in the world. Not just Jews, not just Israel. So we are engrafted in, and we can choose whether we want to be part of the vine and receive all the life-giving that it has to give, or we can just kind of wither up and fall off the vine and not be fruitful. The thing that drew me to these two passages was thinking that if you abide in me, verse 7 of chapter 15, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Often as a young believer, I guess, we think, oh, good, he's going to ask whatever I desire. That's cool. And then you start asking, and some of the stuff you don't get. Probably a good thing when you're immature. Kind of ask for ice cream cones a lot, you know. But as you abide in Jesus, he changes your desires for what you ask for. You ask for his best, for him to be glorified, for the Father to be glorified, that the Holy Spirit would not be grieved or quenched, but or resisted. But that the Trinity would be in joy over our choices. Several places in the New Testament it says, Be careful about things so you know what pleases the Lord, or be careful about things so you don't displease the Lord. What if we could increase the joy of the Lord somehow? I don't know how that would work. By us abiding. Jesus wept. Maybe he can have extra joy because of us abiding in him. Our requests should be about bearing more fruit. Yes, we have a lot of physical requests, normal requests. God, work out this situation that, you know, this is taken care of. I need my daily needs and so on. But in Matthew 6, he says he'll take care of that stuff. Feed the birds. Look at flowers. They look pretty good. Woo! Not just pretty good. They look beautiful. There are colors in those flowers we can never duplicate even on the screen of a Mac. So rich, so unique. And he says, look at those flowers. Look at the birds. The birds that come to my house, man, oh, man. They're taken care of. But he takes care of them even if there isn't me to put out the bird seed. Some of them look pretty fat when they show up at my house. They don't need any more. He is a good, good father, just like we sang about today. But our desires should become what his desires are, and the only way that that can happen is for us to abide in him and abide in the word. How's your abiding doing today? Because if you do abide, boop, fruit pops out. Boop, it pops out. Your branch, your goal, is to produce fruit. Remember when Jesus cursed the fig tree for not having fruit out of season? I heard something about that this week, or I read something, I should say. The fig tree actually has pre-fruit that people walk by and they pick off of it, like little nodules of some kind. And before season for it to produce the real figs, it has prefigs. And so people would walk by and they'd say, oh, this fig tree in about, you know, a number of weeks, I don't know, 3 months or something, is going to have figs. But look, it's got this pre-fruit on it. And they would eat the pre-fruit and it wouldn't bother the main fruit from being produced. So Jesus, they're saying, never saw the pre-fruit on the tree, so he knew it wouldn't produce in its season. And so he cursed it. He doesn't like it when things don't produce fruit. It displeases him. Wow. So what does fruit look like? You know the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, starting in verse 22. All those things that only he can produce in our character in a supernatural way. Do you know people that are gentle that aren't believers? I sure do. I see them and I say, wow. For not being a Christian, they really seem to be a gentle person. A gentle personality. But the gentleness of the Holy Spirit, when we allow that to grow, to pop out at the end of our branch, is so supernaturally beyond what any person that doesn't have Jesus could ever produce. Gentle even among enemies. Gentle even in the deepest trial. Only Jesus can pop that kind of fruit out of us. Joy that goes deeper than happiness. Peace that's not like the world's peace. They walk around going, I have peace. Yeah, I'm sure I have peace. Yeah. I think I have peace. Oh, boy. What's that going on in Orlando? Oh, blah, 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 I have peace. Oh, what's going on in California? Oh, they're going to fall into the sea. Oh, I have peace. And there is no peace. But with Jesus, we already know the end of the story. We should have peace. All these little steps in between. We need to come to a place of peace because it's a person, and we're relating, we're abiding in that person. Think of abiding in 700 names and titles. If we start doing that, we're going to look different, and we're going to pop out some fruit. Whether it be fruit in our character or fruit of the works of Jesus. He's already planned them out for you, according to Ephesians 2. God's already planned them out. Ephesians 2:10, I believe. We have to walk them out. How do you walk them out? Abide in Jesus. Come to a place where he becomes our source and supply more and more and more. There were some lines in the songs about that today. More and more, deeper and deeper, closer and closer and closer. If they're just songs we sing and we get a little bit of the, you know, holy heebie-jeebies as we sing them, but we walk out of here and we don't really get that much closer to Jesus, we're missing something. We're truly missing something. He draws us in. We draw near to him, and then he can't help but run to us. Remember in Luke 15, the prodigal son comes to his senses, gets out of the mud pit, gets out of the pig slop, and starts for home. As soon as the father saw him, I kind of picture him on the front porch going, you know, looking for his son, and then, there he is. He's still quite a far piece off, and he runs out to meet the son. He doesn't wait until the son reaches the porch. Doesn't give him the lecture that he, in our eyes, deserves. He runs out to meet him. That's what abiding is about. We take a step, we put our toe into the water, and he pulls us under. He comes that close to us. It's experiencing God rather than just saying, oh yeah, I know about Jesus. How many people do you meet that say, oh yeah, Jesus took care of that a long time ago. Oh yeah, Jesus, oh yeah. Abiding is a different kind of relationship with Jesus. And how do you know someone is abiding? According to the Bible, Matthew 7, you can check out their fruit. Do they produce fruit? Good fruit can't come from a bad tree. Bad fruit can't come from a good tree. If you see good fruit in their life, Holy Spirit kind of qualities, hey, they're abiding. They may not be perfect, but they're abiding. I see some fruit popping out. If they're using their life to bear fruit for the kingdom, going to the nations, going to the streets, going to their families, going to the person in front of them, they care about people's eternal salvation. They see eternity on their eyelids. And they go, I need to think about eternity when I think of people. If that's on the increase, they're probably abiding in Jesus because that's exactly the heart that Jesus has, isn't it? You don't just meet people and, I don't care what happens to them. You start to care about what happens to this person in front of you. You start to care enough to take the extra step, to go the extra mile, to spend time with them or to go out and meet people you normally wouldn't meet, to go to nations and meet people that you would never meet unless Jesus rose up inside of you because of abiding, that life in the branch. coming through to us, through us, in us, and wanting to pop out that fruit of a person's life being saved. Paul looked at the people that he ministered to as fruit. Forget the one person's name. I had it written here somewhere. You know, it's one of those Epaphroditus. You know, one of those long names. But he said he's fruit of what I'm trying to do. Recognize him as fruit. He pointed out the fruit. Receive these people when they come to you. Like Timothy would always tell, no, receive them. Receive these believers when they come to minister to you. Other things in these passages that are noteworthy is that Jesus doesn't leave us as orphans. Have you ever thought that Jesus is the Father? The Father is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Father. You know, in one sense, they seem to have a distinctness, but he keeps saying one, one, one. Oh, it's the unity of it. But several times it says you have the Spirit of Jesus now that you're a believer. Other times it says you have the Holy Spirit now that you have the, you know, have Jesus. It's such a closeness. We couldn't tell the difference because we're just going to be on our faces. You know? It's not going to be like, is that the Father? Or is that Jesus? Or is that the Holy Spirit? Boom. You know, in his presence, we're not going to be making distinguishing, you know, determinations. I like that because we're supposed to be in that same unity. Did you hear some of this? He's in you, you're in him, they're in us, and we are in. I mean, it's such a closeness. The abiding is much closer than what any of us have been. We still have more levels to go. We still have more levels to go. That's good news. Oh, woe is me. I have more levels to go. I'm just not there yet. Or, wow, I have more levels to go. Woo! This is not it. This is pretty good. I'm a little bit shaken under the power of the Holy. Whoa, there's more. Whoa. I can remember a time when we were having the Bible study at my house. There were about five or six people that would watch me during worship while I was leading or while I was listening to worship or while I was teaching even to see if, you know, if there was a little overcoming by the Holy Spirit, like a little wiggle or a twinkle or a some kind of little, you know, get you goomy. And what... I don't know why they didn't wait until I, you know, went to Toronto or some other place that we visited. And I just went, you know, somebody just came close to touching me. And I went, bam, on the floor. No, it didn't happen often. Does it matter? It didn't seem to happen often to Daniel. And man, when it did, and it's written about, you sit there and you're with him. Oh, yeah, he's fearing the Lord while he's in his presence, but a fearsome awe, whoa, whoa, and he's like shaking and baking, he's as if dead. Mine was a little more peaceful. I just felt such a wave of peace. There have been times when I've been ministering, and what comes out, I'm shocked. I'm totally shocked. Because it's God, but I didn't have anything to do with it. So when something happens, life is given or life comes out of it, a prophetic word or anything else, a song, whatever, and something happens, I can't touch it. It's too holy. But I was part of it at the same time. I think that is kind of what we're shooting for, this continual abiding that we can't tell how much he's, and yet it's holy, he's working through us.
But we're overcome by his presence, and yet we're able to stand enough to deliver life to people. Don't you think? It's a little more than our daily experience right now. We have something big to look forward to. Higher level. Greater anointing. We have to keep abiding, though, for it. We can't give up and think, oh, not me. I haven't had any of these kinds of experiences some of these people talk about. Guess what? Neither did I. But by his grace, he increased it and increased it and has continued to do so. Sometimes now when I pray for Mary Pat, times you don't see. She's experiencing something in her physical body, and it's healed within a short amount of time. And I go, that's different than what I used to do years ago. Wow. I wouldn't even think that my prayers would do anything. Years ago, I thought she was the one that should speak out in healing, because she would speak out healing and people would go, yeah, I was healed, I was healed, I was healed, I was healed. But guess what? You need to step into things that you think only other people are good at. Because it's not about them. It's about the abiding. It's about the believing that he'll use you. He'll use you. And some of you have had that experience where you've stepped into something and you thought, oh, no, 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 no. That's for the pastor. Or that's for somebody that I've seen up front. They look so enthusiastic about God. And so they're the ones that get to do that stuff. But then you actually step out, maybe a little tentative. And because you've been abiding in Jesus, that life-giving just flows through you. Boop! Some fruit gets popped out at the end of your branch. And someone is blessed, healed, delivered, changed forever. You have the opportunity to give life out of your mouth. Speaking over people. Maybe you've never sung over anyone. You won't until you try it. You won't know whether it has any effect until you try it. Well, I can't sing. Guess what? Doesn't matter. If he is pushing out life through you to the end of your branch, boop, fruit will come. Well, I would never do that. I'd never sing over anybody because I'd never draw a picture. I'd never do that because you're putting limits on yourself that God has not ordained for you to have. No limits unless he says, move this way. Do this thing instead. Let him be the one that tells you you have a limit. Oh, I can't preach the gospel. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. I can't play an instrument. Don't you ever say that. Unless God says, tell you what, move away from the guitar, okay? That is not your deal. And he'll do that. He's faithful to do that. So you don't, spend your time on something that's just not going to work for you. But some of you are making your own statements. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We have people in here that are artists that have not been discovered yet. In a variety of ways. We have people in here that can minister to people in ways they would never think they could. Never. And it takes belief, doesn't it? It takes abiding. Obviously, you're not trying to take over. Well, God just showed me that I'm supposed to, preach this morning instead of you, Pastor Bill. Could you sit down? That might be, debatable on a particular morning. But sometimes the microphone ends up in someone's hand We've had it happen here, and they take up a lot of time sharing what God has for the body through them, and we're saying yes and amen. What if they had not stepped out into that? Someone has a song, they start singing. I don't know if you listened to what was going on up here, but one person would sing a little while, and then someone else would sing a little while, and then someone else would sing a little while, and it came back to the worship leader, and she would take it again. And that's unity in worship, the people singing out. What if we had song sheets? You know, the old song sheets. Everybody followed, and that was the goal. It's okay. I like this better. I like this better. Where anything could be sung or by anybody at any time during the worship time, and it becomes a symphony by itself. Some people have heard angels singing along with us. I think they like this. They get a chance to actually enter in, jump in, and join us, or however that works. Maybe we're joining them. So it says abide a number of times. Abide in me, abide in me, abides in me, abide in me, abide in me, abide, my words, abide in you. Abide in love. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. Abide in his love. And what is the result of all that abiding? Bearing fruit. Also, though, this one I like. He will call you friend. Friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Remember that song? I didn't think of him as a friend back then. When I was singing those hymns growing up in the Baptist church in my little town, I thought of him as someone to run from, hide from, because he kind of knew what I was up to and it was no good. Yet I was attending the church, and I was in the church choir. But he knew. Billy, this is not what I have for you. And I'd go like, I don't want to hear that. Billy, no. It's not me, Lord. Go talk to Samuel. I knew enough about the Bible to become dangerous. I actually preached the gospel to a couple of my friends that I was trying to start a group with, or a little bit of a rock group. I preached Jesus to them and led them in a salvation prayer. But I was not living for Jesus. You can see what he was doing. So gracious to me. This is your future, man. You can't help it. It just comes out even when you're not obeying me. It comes out when your desires aren't my desires, when you're not really abiding in me. Your future is coming out of your mouth. Your future is right there. And it took me a number of years still to discover him, that he was worth everything. It was worth my life. So I did a lot of things before I was a real believer. Lots of things that had religious connotations that people in the church thought, oh, he's a pretty good kid, because I was hiding from God, had my secrets no one knew about except him, and he kept pursuing me. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. He pursued my heart until I would abide in him. And until I was willing to obey him, that he could be my friend as well as my savior
and all those other 700 names and titles. The sweetest one this morning might be that he's your friend. Do you know Proverbs? If you go through Proverbs and look up friend, a friend wounds you for your good. A friend doesn't give up on you. A friend, you can have a friend closer than a brother, closer than anyone. Jesus, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And this is it with a smile, okay? You are my friends if you do what I command you. He's not saying, if you do what I command you, you can be my friends. You got it? It's not his heart. He's giving an invitation. Do you want that close abiding enough that you can actually believe God chose you as one of his friends? I bet it would change our friendships in this life. We would be a little bit more careful about which friends would be our confidants if we believed that God was our friend. We'd be very careful. Maybe we share with too many people, and we get going on the wrong kind of sharing, because the friends that we have are not going to wound us for our good. The friends that we have won't really stick with us through difficult times with the Lord and say, keep pressing in. They're more the type of friends that say, give up. Those are not helpful friends. Will God ever tell you to give up? No. That's why you want him as your closest friend. Closer than a brother, closer than a mother, closer than a father, closer than a wife, closer than a husband. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Wow! John is about the revelation of the Father to us. Jesus said, I've learned from the Father as the God-man, and I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to let you in on the secrets. I'm going to let you have the same revelations that I've received. Want to come a little closer and abide in me? I'll let you in on the secrets of the kingdom, the secrets of unity, the secrets of love. And they're all good secrets, not those kind that you tried to keep back in the day. He wants, as our friend, to be so intimate that he gives us the deep things of God. I know we know that. We sing about it. Here's a fresh invitation into the abiding in Jesus, that you can bear fruit, but you'll also know God intimately enough. It'll be speaking to you revelation. Revelation to help people. Specific things to help a person. As you speak to them, life will come out of your mouth. Not just you. Not just me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So, I kind of feel that way about my first 19 years of life. Without him, I was doing nothing. I was doing well in college. I wasn't having bad grades. I wasn't so involved in the world that I was drinking every weekend and all that. I tried it once or twice, and I was like, this is stupid. I ended up with a headache. Like, what good is that? I want to have my full faculties. People around me were doing drugs, everything else back in the 70s. They still do that today, don't they? Okay, never mind. But I didn't want to be part of that. I thought, this guy coming across the hall with a gas mask and he just toked inside of it and lifted it up and said, hey, you want some of this? I looked at his eyes, all bloodshot, said, no. Sorry, I know I have the long hair, believe it or not, but I don't need that. I don't need that lifestyle. One of my best friends at that time, he smoked like a fiend. I mean, just, you know, one right after the other. And I thought, what a waste of money. And he doesn't smell good either. I want to smell good. So, you know, my dad was a lifelong smoker, and he ended up dying of cancer, lung cancer. I thought, no way. No way. My brother and I, you know, took a couple of his cigarette butts when we were small, and we'd lit them up and tried them. How does he do that? I don't know. So God was gracious, even when I was a fool. But I feel I was doing nothing. My successes looked pretty small after I came to Jesus. I actually came alive in my personality, not just in my spirit. I actually could talk to people. I didn't. For 19 years, I kind of stayed away, you know, and with my friends, I'd be kind of talkative, but adults, and I'd mainly try to get away from adults and hide somewhere. When I got to college, I didn't have many friends there, so I just kind of studied, went into myself. Not good. If that would have continued, what a waste of a life. But instead, Jesus found me. I started to abide in him. My personality woke up. I woke up, came out of the pig pen. The Father starting to hug and love on me, drawing me in. I said, yes, I want more of that. And so my life from that time of 19, they've been like this. It's not been like, it just took me gradually closer and closer to him and the abiding in him. And this present day, I want more of what he has for me, not just for me. I want to be able to give it out because I've seen him do it through my life to other people. I've seen him increase in my life. I want that for every person in here, every person that we meet overseas, every person we meet downtown, anywhere we go. I want that from me. I want that from you, to be passing out that kind of a fruit, that kind of life to other people. And so I see it. Some of you are gaining so much from the abiding. The fruit is popping out. Sometimes I have to tell you it's happening. You're so concerned. Oh, man, I'm still working on the fruit of the Spirit. Guess what? Everybody is. Such a high calling. It's supernatural. And so it takes us bending our knee more and more often, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, some of you are on the increase, and the fruit is coming. And there's more in your future. Let him have his way. Let him produce the fruit through you. Don't fake it. Go all out. Let him have all of you. Don't hold back some for these friends. And then the ones here, Jesus, all the way. No, don't play the double lifestyle. Let it all be Jesus. Take the hits because you will be persecuted. If you're like Jesus, you will be persecuted.
If you just like the stories of Jesus when people were like, oh, Jesus, yay, 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 waving the palm branches, it's not what most of the experience is about. Most of it is about suffering with him, being persecuted with him, because you're all out for him. If you've been compromising and that's not been your experience, everybody just kind of loves you at church and loves you in the world, you're probably not speaking out life to them, because life brings one of two reactions. Either they want what you have or they don't, and they'll let you know. In your face sometimes, more often behind your back. Join us that are part of that company. Join us. We want more abiding believers. We want more producing of the fruit for Jesus. And it's not our desire. He's given it to us. Join us. Join our ranks. We took the name Frontline for a reason. We want to be abiders. We want the fruit to pop out of our branches. Because of the Jesus inside of us. No fake fruit. No fake fruit. You know what it's like when you see a fake bowl of fruit. And it looks fake. And you go, "What? Why waste the plastic?" And sometimes you see a bowl of fruit and it looks real, but it's really fake. And you kind of, you know, I wonder where. Oh. The disappointment. It looked real, but it's fake. But when you take a nectarine, a real live nectarine, after seeing your grandchild devour one with joy, and you say to yourself, I want to be childlike just like him. And this time I'm not using a napkin just like him. It's going to squirt everywhere like when Troy eats grapes. Yeah, it's just wonderful, the freedom of that. The joy as it just out of your mouth. That's the kind of joy Jesus wants in the fruit that we produce. That's what he wants, to share that joy with us. That's what life's all about, producing the fruit that he wants produced in our own lives and living out of the vine so we produce it in other people's lives and multiply the Jesus in us through other people. If we're always, woe is me, we're probably not reaching out to somebody else. We're wasting our words of life on the negative. Woe is me. Woe is me today too. Yesterday was woe is me and today is woe is me. That's a waste of time. It's a waste of time for any of us. We need to think, I can speak out words of life over myself if I have to be able to speak it out over other people, encourage them, lift them up, worship the Lord with my lips, like the song says that we've been singing lately. Let that be on our lips. Changes everything in the way we see things when we're worshiping God. A lot easier to abide when there's worship on our lips. So we're to abide also in his love. As we've said before, you can love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, will, emotion, strength. But you have to love your neighbor as yourself along with it. He wants us to abide in his love to accomplish that. The unity that we feel in worship when we're really letting ourselves be abandoned to worship, that unity that comes in the spirit, and you hear people singing out here, there, across the congregation, just singing out, not following the song, but just singing out, or following it and then singing out. All the different variations, there's such a unity with that. We're to preserve that. Jesus gave it to us, John 17. We're to preserve it. We're to let it happen and increase it. What stops it? It's when we start looking at one another and saying, I don't like that about them, or they did this, and have you heard that? Unity starts dissipating. It just starts dissipating. He wants us to abide in his love towards one another. Sounds simple. Sounds very simple. It's not. We have to battle. We have to battle. Receive that life-giving flow through us to love others in the body. Here in other congregations, other groups, other Christians. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Wow. Why does he offer that? Why not just say, I'm master, your servant. Let's keep it that way. That would seem like that's what God would do. He knows everything. He can do anything. Why shouldn't he be in charge? Why should he offer friendship to us? You deserve to be servants of mine. Let's stick with that. But instead, he offers sonship, friendship, citizenship, being one with him. John 10:30, I and the Father are one. And here he invites us into that oneness. Why invite us into the oneness of the Trinity? Are you crazy? We're imperfect. We abide imperfect. We produce fruit imperfectly. We treat one another imperfectly. We love imperfectly. Come on in. Be my friend. Because he knows. If we'll sign on to obeying him out of love and not out of duty, he will change us in the abiding. He'll change us. You will be changed in the abiding, or you're not abiding. You will be changed. That's a good thing. I need to be changed. Don't you? A lot. Don't you? It's a good thing. The discipline of the Lord is a good thing. The correction of the Lord. All those good words in Proverbs and other places in the Bible. They're the best. Means some kind of rust is being taken off of us. Some kind of evil is being taken out of our thoughts and our life. The old man is dying again rather than rising out of the casket. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And what do you get for all this abiding? Verse 19, chapter 15. The world hates you. If you don't love the world, it's going to hate you. And if you do love the world, there'll be people in the world that hate you anyway. So why not be hated for the right reasons? You will be hated. Jesus is hated by Hindus, no matter what they say. Hated. Muslims hate Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't have him living inside of you,
You hate him. That's what he says. You're against God. You aren't like these good people over here that don't know Jesus. Oh, they're so good. They're just good. You know, everything they do is just good. They're just wonderful. No, they're not. They might be nice, but if they're in rebellion against God, they're not good. They're not good. We've got to get that out. And I'm not mad at them. I want them to come into the good. I want to draw every one of them into the good. That's why we go to Hindu nations, why we go to Muslim nations, why we go other places of the world to complete, you know, non-religious people. They don't worship anything other than themselves. You don't hate them. Jesus died for them. You love them. But don't start thinking, oh, they're good enough. They're nice. They're against God if they don't believe in him, if they're rebelling against him. It's a battle. You only find those kinds of things out through abiding, right? And you only can be empowered to love people that are in rebellion through abiding in Jesus. We don't have this kind of thing inside of ourselves that we're so compassionate. Without Jesus, we can do none of this. None of it. That's why we need to be in an ongoing conversation with Holy Spirit. That's why we need to say, oh, I need more of you today, God. Enter into my day. When I forget about you for a moment, enter into my thoughts. Capture my thoughts so that I don't forget who I am, whose family I represent, whose ambassador I am. Don't let me forget. What did they do in the desert? Their big sin? They forgot. Oh, that doesn't sound fair. They forgot God. Oh, that sounds a little more fair. What does the abiding do? Verse 8. The Father is glorified. Wow. As we abide in him and produce fruit, the Father receives glory. We don't touch the glory. We let him have it. When is heaven the happiest? When the Father is glorified. When are you the happiest? When the Father is glorified. So this is Father's Day. And we recognize the fathers here. Good job. Way to go. We love you. All the things we're supposed to say. We lift you up in the Lord Jesus. We pray for you to be even better fathers than you've ever been before. Thank you for standing for Jesus. Thank you for bringing Jesus into your families. But we want the true Father, the true vine, glorified. He's the one that deserves the glory. And as we abide in him, we'll be better fathers. A lot better. As we get close to him, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. James 4:8. As we do that, we're going to be a lot better fathers. We're going to be a lot better people. We're going to give out life everywhere we go. Don't let your thoughts this week, any week really, but this week, don't let them go this week to your weaknesses, your failings, your flounderings, your flops, your situations. Abide in Jesus. Glorify him. Worship him more than ever before. Read Proverbs or some other part of the Bible. I'm telling you, you will be closer to him.
Isn't it worth it? What else do we have to do that's so important? Nothing. We just make things more important. We let them have a more important place. Well, I do have to put gas in my car. Go put gas in your car. Okay? I'm not saying, you know, but you can put gas in your car, and while you're driving there, you can be worshiping. Challenge me with that as well. Sometimes I waste an entire drive and I don't connect with God. How stupid. He's worthy of that connection, and it helps me too. When you worship God, it helps you. It helps me. More and more and more. I heard the gifts coming in. Tinkle, tinkle. Clink, clink. We do want to bless the fathers, and they'll be passing out to the fathers these lovely gifts. We recognize you for inserting Jesus into your family's lives. We pray for you that your abiding after this day will be closer and greater and more fruitful than ever. Thank you for bringing your children here. I love it when they ask me for mints and gum. I know that they really care about me, not just the mints. Oh, sure. Yeah. Mints and gum, depending on the day. Father, we bless each of the fathers here, Father, and the fathers to be. Lord, we say yes and amen to your plan in their lives to draw them close to you as men of God, that they, like Abraham and Moses, will know you as friend. And that will be transferred to their families, Father, and multiplied to their generations, God. We don't just say this because it's Father's Day. We say this because it's life. And we know all of this came from you, for without you, we can do nothing. I can preach nothing without you, without you. Father, touch their lives with a new anointing. Touch their lives with a new openness to take away all the ceilings in their life, any limits that they've allowed for them to have in their thoughts. May they be gone. May they be gone. And you will lead them where you want them to go, what you want to do through their life, how you want to empower them, all the giftings coming out because they're open to Holy Spirit. They're not saying no, no, no to Holy Spirit. They're saying yes, yes, Lord, and receiving the benefit of that, and the kingdom will as well. Yes, Lord, we bless each of the fathers here today, and we thank you, God. You will produce fruit through them. Yes, God, it will affect the nations. It will affect our neighborhoods. It will affect their families. It will affect other families. Lord, lead us to produce more fruit as we abide in you, God. As fathers, as believers, all of us, Lord, we give you praise. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have a verse up here to close with some gifts. Did we pass those out? Already passed out? Oh, okay. Did Pastor Bill get one? Is there one for him?
It's on its way.
Okay. Just want to close with this verse. I'm going to read it from the NASB. It's up here. Proverbs 23:24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Verse 25 follows that and says, let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. I like that. That's for me. But I just want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers and those who will be listening. Those, we can invite those to come in from the outside if they're there. And Papa Bill gets one of these. And Jamie, did you want to say anything about these? You picked these out and put them together. Anything that you wanted to say about the colors or
go Cavs?
Go Cavs. I know what I'm doing tonight at 8 o'clock. Yep. So that's for you. So thank you all, and may this be an encouraging verse for all of you. And for those who are on vacation, who will listen to this later, just be encouraged. For those who have stepped into fatherhood, if you've had disappointments yourself from your earthly father or from maybe an earthly son or daughter in any way, that we can still remember that the love of the Father in heaven, our Father in heaven, is big enough to cover all places where there have been bruisings or hurts or wounds. And for those of us who cannot identify with that, praise the Lord. But also today, on this Father's Day, as you go out, as you go forward, just really encourage you to really be thanking the Lord for who you do have in your life, for your natural fathers and who are here or not here, spiritual fathers, fathers, whatever you have, who are here or not here. And just want to thank God for a sensitivity in this group to be able to rise, to be able to think and act, to stop and think, and to express gratitude where gratitude is needed as we abide in Jesus. Amen? So I just want to thank Papa Bill here. He's an outstanding father in this house and a great father to our children and a great example. And I just want to bless you, honey, and thank God for your life. Thank you for who you are. And it's always good to express that. We don't force expression. But it's always a good thing, because the Lord wants to fill us up with more of his abiding Father's heart. And any of us who have struggles in any of these areas, or we know people who do, the Lord wants to release greater Father's heart and Father's love, Father's anointing. Because through that Father's connection, we're really going to be able to take this holiness, the walk of holiness that we're standing in, and take it to another level, because we really need to communicate with Papa. Just really touch base with Papa and stay really close. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the beautiful worship and the great word. And just thank you, Lord, that we are people who live in gratitude, people who live in joy, even if there are people against us, because we carry your love so much. Father, whatever the expression is of that, as overcomers, Lord, we just stay in joy and we stay in peace because we're your righteous ones. And we thank you, Lord, that we want to be those who will take the glory that you've given us and release it to others, who will see us as glory carriers, will see us as fathers and mothers in the faith, but particularly today, fathers in the faith, to be able to express that, to be able to demonstrate that, to be able to be a model in this life. Not that we're always looking to say, why is it so hard or difficult or whatever, but God, recognizing that you gave up your only son as the greatest gift to us because you gave your best. So thank you, Lord, that we celebrate that today. We celebrate your faithfulness to us as Abba. We celebrate your faithfulness as Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we can demonstrate that to all we're around, whether they're for us or against us. Lord, we can smile and give them the love and the joy and the peace of Jesus through our attitudes, through our actions, no matter what. Thank you, Lord, for that. We bless you and we embrace you and bless every father in this house. In Jesus' name, and those to come, those who are waiting for the next little one. Right, Peter? You've already been a father, but this great new one's coming. I don't know of any other PG people. I don't.
Just a couple quick announcements. This Friday, we have an all-night watch of the Lord. So from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., we'll be here praying and worshiping. So you're welcome to join us for that. And next week is our Jackson Community Celebration. So we'll have a booth over there. We'll be drawing prophetic pictures for people, offering prayer, handing out information about the church and balloons and all sorts of fun things. So that is Wednesday the 29th through Saturday the 2nd. And then setup is Tuesday the 28th. So the sign-up sheet for that is out in the foyer. If you can please take a look at your schedule and sign up for when you'll be able to be there, that would be a huge help to us, just so we know that we have enough manpower to be at the booth. Families are welcome to come. There's going to be things that the kids can help out with as well. So we would love it if you could join us. Thanks. Friday is healing rooms as well. So that's from 7 to 8:30, and then the Watch of the Lord is 9 to 5 a.m. One more thing. If you haven't received a Jesus Fast book and you're interested in one, they're outpouring from the Azusa Now movement, and we have those here, and we're handing them out one per family. So please see me if you're interested in that. And if it's on your heart to fast and pray at all this week leading up to the Watch of the Lord, we would love to have you join us in that as well. So you can ask God what that can look like for you. Often in the past, we've done three-day fasts, Wednesday through Friday, and then breaking that Saturday morning with communion at the end of the Watch of the Lord. That's been really, really powerful. But yeah, whatever you feel the Lord is leading you to do. See me if you want a Jesus Fast book and you don't have one yet.